Found this in Gunner room. Gunner mirror me.
What is it?
Well, it's
It's Synthaholics. It's the Star Trek podcast.
Guys, this is your host David Duncan, and with me is
Aaron O'Brien,
and we have
Josiah
Leroy
of the Geek of Verse.
I am so taped right now.
No,
I thought we were just practicing our harmonies.
We were.
Yeah, we were.
Yep, boom, nailed it.
It was about as good as it could get. I think so.
We could do better, but we won't torture people. So, hey,
we didn't technically do a non-Star Trek episode last month, although we did host Nerds in the Round Table.
I know.
That counts.
We're a bunch of assholes.
But, you know, Ghost of the Shell came out on the 31st of March, and we wouldn't have time to watch it and podcast about it and have it out in time for this month. So we're doing it. We're front-loading early in the month.
There you go.
So in case you didn't notice me saying Ghost in the Shell, we're talking about Ghost in the Shell.
We're talking about Ghost in the Shell, the 2017 movie.
Talking about Ghost in the Shell.
This is the first time we've been current.
Yeah.
On the entire show.
Yeah.
Well, we did. No.
I was going to say Rogue One. That was on Nerdynomic.
Oh, no. We did do Rogue One. We did episode 7.
We did. We talked Rogue One, too.
We talked about episode 7.
And then we talked Star Trek Beyond. We did that.
That's true. That was timely.
Yeah, so.
So it's our fourth time being timely on the show? Woo!
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Considering most of Star Trek is, between 15 and 50 years old.
Yes.
So I'm doing this thing where I'm going through all of the 2016 movies, you know, kind of working my way through, and Star Trek Beyond is next to kind of just reminisce, and I'm writing an article on my cinema trek, if you will, no pun intended.
Right.
It was so funny, David just choked. Yeah. And
he's dying.
Dying.
My last Synthaholics episode.
Remember this. Remember this, folks. I am replacing Dave. remember this transition. So, yeah.
This is a power play.
Hopefully they'll put my brain in the shell of an android.
Hopefully, and hopefully you're played by Scarlett Johansson.
I hope so, too, because the sex is brutal.
Oh, no.
Now that I'll have a robot vagina, it'll just be so much better.
I believe it's pronounced vagina.
Vagina.
Well, that's wonderful. Oh, all right, geez. So your 2017 trek through films.
Yeah, that's about what I'm about to embark on Star Trek Beyond, so I'm excited to watch that again. Now that you brought it up, I'm thinking about it again. Awesome. It's Idris Elba and...
It's a fun movie.
I watched it on the train on the way to my parents' house a couple weeks ago.
Unpopular opinion, and I mean this with all due respect, because pizza is pizza. Pizza's good. This is the worst of the three films.
What?
But that's still saying something, because it's still good.
I don't know. I think it was the best of the three films.
When I say
personally worst,
like I said, I mean that with a, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because it's still very good.
I feel,
maybe a topic for another time, but I'm
sure,
just saying.
But I mean, I feel like this movie could have stood on its own and could have been the first movie.
Almost could, except almost the whole introductions of
with the Spock thing.
My ranking of these movies would be as they chronologically came out: 1, 2, 3.
Huh.
Interesting.
I mean, my friend at work, he hated Star Trek Beyond, and I'm like, why? He couldn't really say anything.
I feel like that would have been also a good Netflix series.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of smaller interactions that happen in Beyond.
Well, the whole idea is that the argument that Star Trek should be in the small screen.
Star Trek is better suited on a small screen,
without a doubt. It's fun to see it as a movie because you get the big budget, but you don't get all the little nuances and the stories and all
the character development.
Sure, I can see that.
So hopefully with Star Trek Discovery coming up, we'll get something a little more like that.
And people – Martin – what's her name? Sequoia Green?
Yeah, Martin Green.
Martin, mm-hmm. Yeah, she – her character just died on The Walking Dead. Spoilers! And people are like, oh, well she –
Well, we know what she's doing now.
I read an article and they said her character's arc was ending anyway. Like they said that she got the offer for Star Trek Beyond as they were filming or around the time they were filming her death.
How about Rainn Wilson, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Office fan. And Dwight Schrute would – like his character would – die thinking that he was going to be on a Star Trek TV series.
Yeah, absolutely.
How ironic.
But the funny thing is, it's like in The Office, he's so dry and deadpan, and Harry Mudd is completely the opposite. He's over the top.
Yeah.
Rainn Wilson can be that guy.
But as far as it goes, I'm really interested to see that. Although, if this is supposed to be a darker, grittier Star Trek, also from Martin Sequoia Green, she's been saying that, and it's going to be a darker. I'm like, what is Harry Mudd's not very dark. He's very like – jovial and like, oh, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Well, he could be doing something wrong. I mean, he could be doing human trafficking. I mean, he kind of did that in the one
sort of
Mudd's Women.
But you know, he was using performance enhancing drugs on the woman.
He was
like a baseball player. What a jerk.
He was
but he was making the woman hotter.
Yeah. So when they took their pills, it's actually pretty interesting. When they take their pills, they really get hot.
Super hot.
But when they didn't, they turn like old ladies.
Wow.
And it was like really interesting.
He was like recycling old women.
Yeah.
Well, you know, who hasn't?
And you know. So that's a really interesting casting. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Harry Mudd in that. But as we mentioned, this is our non-Star Trek episode. So we're going to talk about the 2017 Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost.
Ghost.
Ghost in the Shell 2017. This is obviously the Americanized version of the manga 1995 Ghost in the Shell.
But it's not just an Americanized – it's like all the action scenes from it. But then they took like parts of the story from the standalone complex and then they kind of mixed it with the story of the 2005 – I mean the 1995 movie kind of.
Yeah.
I mean –
they took parts of it that were fun seeing it.
But the thing about this movie is like it feels like a reboot. It feels like at the end of the movie is when the original Ghost in the Shell could have happened.
Okay.
Because I mean, I liked the movie. I enjoyed the movie for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
An adaptation of an anime. It wasn't perfect. Going into it, I was like, this needs to have more action scenes than what's in the anime, because everything in the trailer showed. Just shot for shot, the action scenes from the anime. I'm like, there needs to be more. And there's a little bit more, but not what I was hoping for.
Well, just a couple things. So this is obviously directed by Rupert Sanders, written by Jamie Moss, William Wheeler, and this guy named Kruger. And
he butchered it.
He butchered it. Eddie Kruger. Anyways, based off Masamune Shirow's manga, which is Ghost in the Shell, and obviously stars Scarlett Johansson as the Major. It's the idea of in the future we are getting cybernetic implants and we're enhancing ourselves and we're seeing the emergence of the brain and machine going together as one. So
melding, yeah.
Yeah. As of today that we're recording – we have that the film has grossed $74.8 million worldwide.
Worldwide. And I don't think it's open in China yet.
And has a budget of – the budget was $110 million. So we are basically short like $35 million so far. But the film is suffering right now.
The film is suffering, but I don't think it's open. Last time I checked, it had not opened in China yet. And China's a huge arena for making money in films. I mean, World of Warcraft only made – I mean not World of Warcraft, just Warcraft made like I think 75-80% of its money just in China alone. And I think when this opens in China, it'll hopefully at least push it where it needs to be.
It might, and I mean, who knows? I mean, we're still – this what are we in the second week of this thing being released?
Yeah, it came out the 31st.
So
we're just entering that second week.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it's possible that it could, kick in some more after time.
But
so.
But domestically, it's going to be considered a failure without a doubt.
Yeah, like we're not getting a sequel to this. No. But I think this movie overall will get close to breaking even. Now I was worried about it at first. I reviewed it for the Geekiverse. We did a spoiler cast for it, a shorter one. At that time, I think it had only grossed like $7.5 million. Like we did it fresh.
Yeah, but you did it like right after. Like
day after.
The weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. At that point, it wasn't.
I don't think you calculated in the worldwide gross. I think you only looked at the U.S. gross when you did it.
And it wasn't. It's a telltale sign. It's not doing great. But I do have a little bit of hope for it in terms of getting back to where it was with its budget. It was an okay film.
You think it'll make up the $110 million that took to make it?
I think it'll be close. I'm not sure if it'll quite surpass that mark or
maybe China will make that money by itself because China's a huge audience. China's massive audience. World of Warcraft only made like less than $100 million in the United States, and it made over $300 million in China.
Well,
I mean, like tons of money in China.
And for what it's worth, with the anime background, that might serve to be a better audience. You know, out east,
maybe, and I don't think this movie's gonna get a sequel, but I kind of like to see them take it. I would love to see a sequel to it because they aped so much from the original 1995 movie and the standalone Complex TV series. I would be so interested to see what they do with an original story instead of just copying everything. Which, I mean, it was fine because, I mean, it's an adaptation and I don't mind that they copied it. But I would love to see like an original Ghost in the Shell movie with a big budget and, you know, looking as amazing as this movie did. Because I don't care what anyone says about this movie. It was absolutely gorgeous.
It was not I'm not a huge anime guy. I don't have a big background in it. So I'm maybe not the best expert in this. But I did see a good portion of the 95 original that David let me borrow, you know, before this discussion. And I think it was pretty faithful to that. Like, this was a good Hollywood big screen adaptation
version
of that.
It. Yeah, I think
but the story was different.
Yeah, I think that misses the beats of the story, but I think visually, I think they nailed.
Yeah,
everything.
Visually, yeah.
Should we just go through the plot real quick, or should we just skip that?
Oh, we can do a little bit of the plot. I mean, it's.
Well,
it's more an origin story. You show Batu gets his eyes.
This is where the funny thing is that because the 1995 movie doesn't really get into the Major's origins, really.
It's normal. Like in the new movie, like she's the quote unquote first of her kind.
Right.
And in the original movie, there's tons of people who have shells. Mm-hmm. Like it's not new, which I think. Which is also why I think, you know, the end of the movies could be the beginning of.
Well, I want to compare and contrast those movies in a little bit, but just real quickly. So. So Scarlett Johansson's character, the Major, she is somehow injured and they put her into a robotic body. Her brain is – she has a human brain but it's
– Everything else is not.
Yeah. So she – and she, you know, she becomes part of this anti-hacking group called Section 9, correct? That's the name of it.
Anti-hacking – yeah, Section 9. They're anti-hacking / anti-terrorists.
So she has a friend, Batu, and her chief, and they kind of – they're going after
– Just different cyber threats.
Exactly. And during this point, she they run into these people who made her, the Hanka Corporation. They are getting their top scientists are getting knocked off by somebody, and it ends up being somebody, this one guy who keeps killing them all. And we get this great sequence where, you know, it's like they're in the geishas are serving them.
Oh,
tea,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And there's this big fight scene and where the Major has to come crashing through and you know, save.
I love how there was like CGI fish on the wall of the window because in the original anime, it was like just like a fish tank. That she like that was part of the wall, or it could have been. In the anime, I guess it could have been holographic, but I just took it as an actual fish tank.
Right,
and she just comes crashing through that. Visually, it's so faithful visually.
Visually, it's awesome. So there's this character named Kuzi, and basically he is a prototype of the Major beforehand, and he pretty much got messed up because he didn't really mesh well with his robotic body. His brain didn't.
Yeah, so it's he's like limping and he walks weird.
And he's got it out for the Hanka Corporation and the scientists that basically put him together.
Because his take on things is that they basically just left him to die, but he didn't die.
He didn't die. He just kept going. And he's obviously he's reaching out to the Major because the Major believes at that in before that she's the first of her kind, that there's nobody else. But obviously she finds out there was a slew of different creations like her. So, and what happens after that is she becomes somewhat sympathetic towards him, but you know she still wants to figure out because they don't remember what their past is. There's like this blurred past that they don't really remember because it's kind of been erased from their memory. And she starts recovering her memory where she finds her mother, and she finds out where she came from and how she was a runaway, and then
the vagrant.
Yeah, and the Hanka Corporation took her, and then they
and other vagrants and just experimented on.
Yeah, experimented, mutilated their bodies, and put them into these machine things. So there we go. I mean, and there's a big battle scene at the end where you know she takes on the Hanka Corporation's one of their spider battle tanks and
spider tank does everything that Spider King does.
So, but that's it. Now, there's a difference, and we'll get into the difference between the 1995 movie, which is quite different. The setup is the storyline. There's similarities to it, but it's the meaning and everything
the
else.
The meaning and the plot is completely different.
Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go with this? Where do you want to tackle first about this movie?
Maybe talking between the first two, like comparing and contrast.
Well, that's the thing with the first one, the Puppet Master character, which is kind of supposed to be Kuze.
But in the original 1995 anime, the antagonist is the Puppet Master. The Puppet Master is an AI created by Section 6, which I guess is basically Hanaka or whatever.
Right, but he kind of evolves out of
AI and becomes conscious and it becomes actual consciousness,
and he phases in on different people. He can like hack into them and stuff like that and take over certain people. So
yeah, basically like the original movie to me was so much deeper than the remake, and that's I was scared of because you know Hollywood tends to dumb things down for the American audience just so that people can digest it. But the first one is just so great. It's like it's very much like A Measure of a Man.
Yeah.
The Next Generation episode where they're trying to like this, you know, is data human
or a sentient being?
Is he sentient? Yeah. Does he count as property or is he his own person?
Right.
And it's very much kind of how the original Ghost in the Shell is, because the Puppet Master is an AI that becomes sentient.
Mm-hmm.
And his purpose is that, you know, he wants to copulate and he wants to, you know, because that's what sentient beings do. They copulate and they pass down their genes to an offspring. And,
sure.
and that's basically his kind of goal, other than he's also trying to hack things and figure out what's going on, what is real. And I like that question, like what is real?
Mm-hmm.
Like where does consciousness really begin? Can AI become conscious? And this is something the new movie didn't really touch on.
Not really.
It's all about Major's background, which is why I think this movie is an origin story, and which is – does everything need to be an origin story now? That's – I'm just like does it need to be an origin story?
Yeah. You have a good point. Sometimes we get so caught up in just how it all began. It gets a little bit like
And that's sad, because if this movie doesn't like do amazing in China, there will not be another Ghost in the Shell live action
movie. And I do worry, because I think there's a lot of Eastern philosophies there that is missed on the Western philosophies, because that's what was cool about it, is that you have the Eastern philosophy is that, you know, it's different than Western, because they believe in the communal, everyone working together to make something better, where Western is very individual. Like who you are is paramount to everything. Like that's who you are. Don't let anybody tell you or make you do anything you don't want to do. Well, and you know, a lot of the Eastern side, it's like you work for your family, your community, your nation, whatever. And what you particularly want, that's not necessarily important. And so when in the 1995 version where the puppet master wants the major to merge with them, that's like – that's it's the idea that they could – her individuality is not as important. It's not. It's not.
It's like, and the thing is, he sacrifices himself to merge with her,
right?
And the major also sacrifices herself because, you know, when she comes back in that little child's body, she's like, she's literally been reborn,
yeah,
because she's in a child's body, and like she tells Batu that I am no longer the major, but I'm also not the puppet master. We are the combined,
right?
And it's super interesting. It's super philosophical, and I literally had to watch the first movie two or three times before it like really sat in, and I really was grasping what was happening in the film.
There's a lot going on for sure. I mean, but and where you know you get in this current iteration, Scarlett Johansson's major is basically looking for her mommy. And that's kind of where it just ends, you know. And which is – it has some of its touching points. It's nice. It's – I don't have any necessary problem. I just think you miss the real red meat great part.
The real philosophical points of it.
I think that's where it missed out. Everything else I don't have a problem with. I think there's a lot of cool things visually, like you said. I think it's beautiful, but I just wish they
– What about you, Josiah? I mean, I know you didn't finish the original film, but
– So jumping in – as a relative newcomer, I thought like it was a good introduction for an American audience to an anime-based property because you guys are bringing up like differing philosophies. I think that's right. Mm-hmm. But seeing this, if I had no knowledge of that anime at all, I'd say, wow, that's kind of a crazy message. Like at times I felt – and I wrote the review for the Geekiverse for this. I brought up that I felt like this was a horror movie at times. Almost.
A little bit.
In a psychological sense, like, if you're claustrophobic, like, think about that. Like, you were trapped in this shell, and that's
you
scary.
You are not you anymore, and, like, if you malfunction, you have to go get yourself fixed.
They gave you the memories that you think you know, but you're slowly realizing that what you think you know may not be the real thing.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, that's a little scary.
It is scary. I mean, if they would have played it more to the horror theme, I think that would have been a great take for the movie.
Can I just say... whatever we are in this meat bag that we live in, you know,
it's basically a shell.
Let's just say, I mean, whatever our soul is, our spark, or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. we are trapped in this until whatever happens afterwards. So, you know,
it's very sobering for sure.
So, if we go blank and nothing happens, or if you ascend up or down, or wherever you're going to go, so that's one of those things that just like we are. It's technically like that, except we are organic, obviously. The other thing, what were we talking about? You said. The horror of it of mm-hmm. the claustrophobic. So that's part of the thing that I was. There was another point you were bringing out though. I lost it though.
Too much warp core breach.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
The claustrophobicness of it and.
Yeah. I thought like the overall message was different than like you said that of the anime.
Yeah.
And that kind of was. Almost how it had to be for first-time American audiences. And it's not like a disrespectful statement necessarily, but Hollywood is different from what we see with...
Sure.
I mean, when I showed my girlfriend the anime, she's like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like, what? Like, I don't understand anything.
Yeah. My wife came home in the middle of it and was like, what are you watching?
At least it was in the beginning. This lady just takes off her clothes and jumps off a building. It's like, naked suicide. Woo!
Yeah, no. Naked ScarJo. All right.
Oh, it's just weird that you know how it is, and then she's like, "Oh, I like the new movie because like I understand what's happening." So I'm like,
So you know, Josiah makes a good point that you know if you're just walking into this movie never knowing anything about the original movie, it's still a decent movie. All the visuals are there, the characters are all there. Yeah, maybe the main philosophy behind it is not there, but let's face it, there's a lot of people who aren't going to even get that philosophy any or even care to get it.
Sure.
Because that original movie is difficult.
You have to watch it multiple times.
Yes.
If you understood exactly what happened in the movie if you watched it the first time, you were genius. I don't know how else to describe you. If you were like perfect, like I don't need to watch it again.
Right.
I don't understand you because I had to watch. I mean, I'm a fairly intelligent person. I had to watch the movie several times before it really sunk in.
Well, here's the other thing I just want to bring out, and I grapple with this a lot, and it doesn't have to do with this movie. It has to do with our culture today. Is that, you know, you get Blade Runner comes out and everyone loses their mind. Now, is this movie not visually just as amazing as Blade Runner? I mean, to me it is. I mean, I think it has everything.
It's that cyberpunk future. It is absolutely gorgeous.
It has everything that Blade Runner, you know, and more, because it's got like a bigger budget and the CGI is better and stuff like that. And, you know, the stories, I don't want to say it's the same idea, but it has a similarity to
What's
it.
It's the cyberpunk culture. I mean, it's similar.
Right. So if you see Blade Runner and everyone loves Blade Runner, it's like, why can't you love Ghost in the Shell as well? And it's just the same thing. It's like, we, you know, you see the original Star Wars, New Hope, and everyone thinks it's amazing. But then you get a new movie that comes out that's, you know, in that same vein, but everyone like shits on it because, you know, like, well, it's just not the same. You know, it's, you know, I don't know. It's just, I think we become so spoiled that everything. I mean, yes, there are some movies that do not make the grade. Sure. I think this movie gets pretty close to being a good movie. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
there are a few factors too with the movie, like poor choice for it to come out this month, in a month that included Logan, Beauty and the Beast,
yeah,
Power Rangers, even right. Like there.
It came out in a weird month. There's so
a
much
stacked month.
There's so much nostalgia in all the movies coming out this month that is fresh in Americans' minds.
Yes,
Ghost in the Shell is niche.
Push it to mid-April, something where it's something, away from all the movies all these, I just mentioned. It's away from May, which has Guardians of the Galaxy, Wonder Woman, a new Pirates of the Caribbean film. Like, get it away from that stuff, because honestly, it's a, to most people, it's a brand new property.
Oh yeah,
yeah, right. It is.
Despite a huge star in Scarlett Johansson, who a lot of the people that would see this movie have seen in movies like the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
You've got to do something to get it away from that if you want to make it a franchise down the road here. Obviously, overseas, it's a different story. And it's a shame, because I think it could do well here if it was maybe released at the appropriate time. Makes a big difference.
But the problem, the biggest problem with the movie, it's not my opinion, it's just that all the controversy is surrounding it. This movie, unfortunately, was probably doomed because of all the social justice warriors. Like, it's whitewashing, it's whitewashing. I would have loved to see an Asian woman play the part. Maybe an unknown. Maybe, you know, Ming-Na Wen. I mean, she does Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's a fairly action-paced show. Only problem with her is, I mean, she's beautiful, but she is definitely older-looking.
I mean, I agree with that to a point, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, Scarlett Johansson is a good ambassador for something like this.
And Scarlett Johansson can put people in the theaters, get butts in the seats.
Exactly.
She can, but she's not.
Well, but she...
She might be doing more than if there had been.
Yeah.
Maybe someone lesser known in the
because
role.
Because that's my... Yeah,
but,
that's
but
my
the thing
point.
Is, I think even the movie studio came out and said, I think the movie... They said, oh, this
well, they're
going
to say anything now.
Because of the whitewashing.
You know, it's like DC with BVS and Suicide Squad. Oh, we didn't release the real version of the movie.
Right,
wait
yeah.
until the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I mean,
out.
These guys are going to spin it any way they want because they need to look good for their bosses.
I don't know. Something with the whitewashing sentiment bugs me a little bit these days, and I don't mean to be controversial in that fact, but like, I mean, do we know that someone of that descent didn't audition for that role? We don't know that. Like,
I know we haven't,
you know what
heard
I mean?
Anything.
Like, I know there are some factors there that we're not maybe quite sure of. Like, you know, David, we might have someone who we thought would be good in that role.
Sure.
But do they have any interest in doing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it could be.
It's
tough. I think Scarlett Johansson was fine. I think she did an amazing job as the role.
I think so,
too. She did – her acting was good.
She's very robotic.
She was
like
robotic.
She should have been.
And even in the original anime, the character's super monotone. And
yeah.
I mean, Scarlett Johansson even brought more humanity to it than the original anime did.
There was some emotion there. And
and she did good.
Even one thing I wrote in the review was how she walked.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah,
she walked through. I mean, she did such a good job. She was so faithful to it. And the thing is, to me, I mean, like, sure, her name is, you know, Kusanagi. That it couldn't be more Asian, you know, Japanese sounding name. But I mean, like, in the original anime, she does not look Asian. Bato does not look Asian. They both look white to me. I mean, as far as I can tell. I mean, the boss, he totally looks Asian.
And it felt like that was kind of almost like a controversy just to have a controversy in a way. And
but that's my problem with the social justice warrior is that people just right. – and all these people coming out hating the movie and they haven't even seen it because, oh, she's a white person playing a Japanese character. It's killing me.
I totally support – you know – I kind of brought it up when we were talking pre-show, and Robbie from Nerdy.com was here too. And I said, if a character, you know, in a given property has an important social background,
right?
I think, you know, it's important to maintain that.
Yeah.
But in certain cases, it's okay to play that. I don't think it's a big screw you.
In this case, the Major's a robot, so it can be anything.
Correct.
Yeah. So she could be
– she could have been a black man.
Yeah, she could have been anything.
Sure.
And the thing is, to me, which is hard – I mean, yeah, like if you're playing Luke Cage should be a black man.
Sure.
But like we were saying, like Dark Tower series that they're coming out, Idris Elba is playing the gunslinger. And he was white kind of – or depicted as white in the novels and stuff like that. But now he's – you know, he's a black guy. And there's no problem with it because the race doesn't really matter for that character.
Sure.
No, not at all.
The best person applicable to that role should play that right. person.
And I just don't see it as a big deal. I think – you know, I do believe Scarlett Johansson would get butts in the seats. She's a great actress. She can do the action, which is two combinations that are very difficult to find in Hollywood. And, you know, she's got that charisma too as well. So I don't know. You could get maybe an Asian actress to play that, but I don't know if she would have that pull to get people to come see it.
But I mean, but that's also the problem is that there's not really big – I can only think of like two female Asian actresses off the top of my head, Maggie Q and Ming-Na Wen. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame. Like, why don't we have more Asian actresses that we could even think of off the top of my head? I mean, maybe you two can think of more, but those are the only two I can think of.
I'm terrible just with actors and actresses.
Can you say from a certain movie? Sure, there's Michelle Yeoh from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
But again, she's on the older side. I think she's even probably older than Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah.
But is that always we would love to have more diversity, but is it always like – I guess I'm trying to say like did – it goes back to what I said before. Did they audition for that part? Did they have an interest in that part?
We have no idea.
I think a lot of times, and I, you know, I might be wrong, the whitewashing crowd will say, "Oh my gosh, they didn't even consider it. They just went straight for a white person." I don't know if that's fair. You know what I mean?
It's not.
Right.
You're exactly right.
Maybe they tested Asian women for the part and they just, you know, Scarlett Johansson just had it all over what the other one.
Sure. What if she was
the best
person for that role?
Yeah.
And it, you know, color aside. Now, if someone else was better for that role and Scarlett Johansson maybe wasn't quite that person, then maybe we have a problem.
I'm sorry. There are certain scenes that you could put back-to-back from the 2017 and the 1995 movie, Scarlett Johansson and, you know, and the Major character. They look, in the cartoon version.
They gave her the same haircut?
Exactly.
They look very much alike. You know, I mean,
yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So it's like... Yeah. There's so much
complaining and controversy around the movie, and it feels unwarranted.
I just get aggravated.
It's completely unwarranted. I totally agree.
I just think that
you should go out there and see this movie.
If
you like science fiction and yes, cyberpunk,
and if
you like, you know, decent, you know, a well done action movie, go and see this movie. Don't listen to the other reviewers who are giving it really crappy reviews. It is a decent movie.
It is fun.
It is action oriented. I cared about the characters. I mean, like, mm-hmm, during the movie, I was like, I mean, like, you know, when we talked on the Nerdonomicon about Rogue One, like, me and Aaron both had the problem, like, we don't really care about the characters. And then they killed them, and I was like, well, that's not a big impact because I didn't care about them. But when the garbage truck runs over the car with the caregiver of Major, I was scared. I didn't want her to die because I wanted her to be able to care for Major. Because, I mean, Major, sure, she's a robot, but she needs to be fixed because she's in a dangerous profession. I was like, I was scared for her life.
Right.
I wasn't scared for anyone in Rogue One.
I mean, I gave this review a 6.75 out of 10 for our website. And for me, that's a relatively low score. But I, at the same time, advocate that you go see this movie. I definitely think you should see this movie. If you're into any of the things that we talk about on Synthaholics,
science fiction, cyberpunk,
on Geekiverse, action, anything, go see it.
It's a fun movie to see. There's nothing wrong with it. This is my thing, and anybody hearing my voice, I've said this over and over again. I believe in equality for all people.
Agreed.
For blacks, whites, Asians, purples,
equal
whatever.
Opportunity.
I want equality for men and women, for gays, lesbians, straights, transgender. I want equality for all. But let's not get politics so ridiculous where we can't enjoy a movie. I want to go see a movie and enjoy it. And you know, maybe Scarlett Johansson could have been a different actress playing, you know, the major character. But I don't know who that person is. I have not seen that person.
Well, that's the question. So let me ask you guys this. What did you think about – well, did you see Doctor Strange at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the Ancient One played by
– But she was Celtic. I mean, I heard she was supposed to be a Celtic person.
She's supposed to be Asian. That was a little – if you say whitewashing, yes. That was a little ridiculous. But on top of that,
you know – But is it so egregious and – Again, I hate to sound like I'm being controversial, but like, do we know? Do we know that they were just like, no, you know what? You're not playing this. We'd rather have a big name here.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
But again, only Asian actresses I can think of are Ming-Na Wen, Michelle Yeoh, and Maggie Q.
Sure.
I mean, those are the only Asian actresses that register because all the other Asian actresses are like either bit parts or something else. And like, I wouldn't mind to see more Asian actors and actresses.
Of course not.
As far as men,
of course,
as far
not.
As men go, Cho, Harold and Kumar. Sulu.
So you,
I mean, like,
yeah.
And there's Jackie Chan and Jet Li, but I haven't seen them in a movie in years. Or seen them headlines. I mean, like,
it's a tough conversation to have, but at the same time,
it's extremely tough conversation to have, and I hate even talking about it because you get like lampooned and as some hateful person, and I just don't want to get the politics. I think we get so, you know, entangled with the politics of things, and just know that I don't have a bad intention towards anybody. And you know, maybe there'll be a new Ghost in the Shell movie someday, and maybe they'll get a better actress to play that part. So.
Absolutely, I'm the same way. You know what? I'm sure there'll be comments on the podcast here that you know,
sure
you know
there will be.
Oh, I'm sure there will be, but you know,
we can only hope.
No, I don't think it's always a fair conversation, but I think you know we're all of the same mindset. We want everyone to have an equal shot at a given role when we're talking about films, particularly here.
Sure.
It just shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter.
Yeah. And the problem is today, like, there's so much PC stuff happening.
Everybody gets angry at everything, and it just gets so exhausting.
And unfortunately, I think it's almost gotten worse since this most recent election because it was so polarizing.
Totally.
And so, like,
it's been bad for years.
It's been bad for years. But I mean, like, I think the social justice stuff and all that has gotten worse because of the recent election.
It's a backlash for everything. And I mean, there's a place for all that, and there's a place for people to be upset for certain reasons. And don't get me wrong, there are things for people to be upset. If I want to go see Ghost in the Shell, I just would hope that.
Can I just see a damn movie?
Can I just see the movie and enjoy
yes.
it? You know,
and I did. I was like,
that's where I was at.
I mean, like, and when I was watching the movie, I was like, damn, this looks so good. Oh my gosh, this looks amazing. I can't believe how good this looks.
And I can hear the counter argument right now in my head. And it says, but you know, how much would that be better if there was an Asian woman that was playing that part and she was you were seeing that?
Who knows?
Movie?
Maybe her acting sucks. Who knows?
Well, all I'm going to say is this: is that. On top of all that, what we just said is I bought the original comic book when it came out back in the 90s. I don't remember what year it came out. I have the original comic run of Ghost in the Shell. You know, Masamune Shirow, I followed his stuff from Appleseed, to his Dominion and all the other stuff he did before Black Magic. So I don't have a problem with supporting anybody of any color, race, ethnicity, whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, I watched the 1995 movie. I saw the sequel, whatever that one was.
Ghost of the Shell 2 Innocence.
Which was terrible.
It was really bad.
I did not like it whatsoever. But I've watched these things. So it's not – I am a huge supporter of any culture as long as the content's good. I want to see good
content. If the story's
good. I'll be into it. So –
Agreed.
Don't give me bullshit that I don't, you know, I don't want to support people of different ethnicities because that's crap, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. If there was a great Asian actress to play it.
Great.
Great. I would see the movie just the same.
I wouldn't have thought twice about it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, Scarlett Johansson didn't put me in the movie. The name Ghost in the Shell put me in the movie theater.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I love
Ghost in the Shell.
I like Scarlett Johansson a lot as an actress and mostly, honestly, from her run – in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
I think she's a really good actress.
Right.
So seeing this was like, all right, you know, she's almost in a way like an evangelist for Ghost in the Shell. Hey, yeah. Check out this awesome property that you probably haven't heard of unless you're a hardcore anime fan.
Right.
And let's see what it does over in America.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing that's – I mean, like back like years ago when they first announced Scarlett Johansson was going to be in the movie, I was apprehensive about it because I'm like – this is going to be a PG-13 movie because Scarlett Johansson's in it. It's not going to be an R movie. She's not going to do the nudity. The original movie had a lot of nudity in it. And just because of that, they're probably going to tone down the violence too. That's the thing that bothered me about Scarlett Johansson being in it because, I mean, like, they're going to have to stray away from how the anime looked visually.
Well, can we talk about that? I mean, Scarlett Johansson, I mean, although she was not technically naked, she's in her bodysuit, you know, but –
I did want to mention that.
Pretty close to naked.
it was flesh colored, but at the same time, they were super inconsistent. Like if there was any problem with the special effects and the way they portrayed the movie, they were super inconsistent with the bodysuit. Because in the beginning of the movie, they show her being made. Mm-hmm. And she's made and she's naked and her being naked is the bodysuit. And there's all these lines in it that show that she's cybernetic. But there's a whole bunch of scenes where you see parts of her shoulders and her back, like when she gets out of the wetsuit, where you don't see the seams mm-hmm. on her body. And I'm like, be consistent, please. I mean, if I have any gripe with the movie, that's probably my biggest gripe with the movie as far as like visual look is because I'm like, she's supposed to have all these like ridges in her because she's cybernetic and that's how she came out naked. But then there's other points in the movie where they didn't put her in the suit where you don't see the.
Okay, but all that being said, I mean, that's some good points, but like just to have the balls to show up on set. In a skin-tight suit. Now, Scarlett Johansson's got a great bod.
And that's flesh-colored.
That's flesh-colored, but that just takes a lot. It's like doing people have to do sex scenes or naked scenes in front of like a whole, you know, the camera crew behind you.
Yeah.
It's got to be really unnerving in that she's in that and she's doing her craft. That's really –
Although I did read an interesting interview with her, she said she likes that suit better than the Black Widow suit because she feels like she can move and breathe better.
I don't think the Black Widow suit looks like it. You can move too well in that suit.
Like she said she likes the Ghost in the Shell suit better than the Black Widow suit. I read that interview. It was really cool. I was like, oh, that's cool. I mean, you look like you're sort of naked, but she said she felt more comfortable in it. Yeah, and I'm like, that's awesome on her.
I don't know why you guys think it's so weird. Every Synthaholics I sit on, I have to wear a skin-tight suit. You guys tell me. So.
Well, we tell you. You could be naked, but I mean, like,
why you just keep down, on putting it on?
Because I'm so damn hairy. That's why
I'm so damn hairy.
You just
call me Chewbacca.
Speaking of being hairy and Chewbacca, have you seen the bad lip reading for episode 7?
No, I haven't watched it. I retweeted it ironically. I haven't had a chance yet.
There's a part on it where like Chewie, like she's being, you know, the nurse is looking at her. And looking at him, and she's like, "Oh, you're really hairy." And he's like, "Oh, you like that?" And she's like, "Yeah, babe." And he's like, "When do you get off work soon?" She's like, "Get off work in an hour." He's like, "Well, I'll be over there at the bar, you know, just being hairy."
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Great. That's awesome. I can't wait to watch it.
It's so good.
Yeah, that's a good
also,
point.
Also, go watch Bad Lip Reading Star Wars Episode 7 and all the other Star Wars videos. I downloaded all three songs of the Star Wars.
Yeah, he tells me he goes to work listening to that song.
No. I listen to them on the way home from work so I can – because they're mellow songs versus Metallica. So I can go to sleep when I get home.
So the Geekiverse was podcasting like last week. We had a whole lot of stuff to do. Afterwards, we must have watched the – Yoda one on Dagobah. Exactly. And then the Tatooine one with Kenobi.
Bushes of Love.
Bushes of Love. We must have watched each of those like 20 times. Oh, they don't get old,
I listen to them all the time. I made Aaron watch them a couple weeks ago. They're so good.
They're so catchy.
Let's you have to be really high. That's all I got to say.
I guess I'm high all the time then because I love them.
They call me a stoner.
They call me a stoner, baby, because I'm playing those 20 times in a row.
420 times in a row, am I right?
Wow.
Yeah, I was bad at tuba, but I'm sure you like me to bounce. I was big in Japan.
I
was king of ping pong. Yeah, I was bad at tuba, and I'm sure you like me to bounce. I love that so much. I love it so much.
Back to Ghost in the Shell.
So Ghost in the Shell.
Visually, anything you want else besides Scarlett Johansson basically being naked? Is there anything else that you want to just put out there? I mean, I
think the movie was almost perfect visually. They even had like the dog that Batu fed, like they had the little
beagle or whatever.
Like that was the picture of the trash man in the original. Mm-hmm. Like that was this picture because in the original movie it was this picture. He thought it was a picture of his daughter.
Yeah.
And then when they looked at it, it was a picture of his dog.
Yeah.
And then in the new movie, it was just a picture of him.
Oh, it's a basset hound, right?
Yeah.
That's what those long dogs like that. That's a basset hound, right?
There were a few. I think visually,
I loved the cues back to the original movie.
Exactly. Like they mirrored it very well. And I thought overall it was impressive. There were a few hiccups. Every once in a while I felt like the advertisements that they had going on in the city were like a little bit overplayed.
It was a little silly, yeah.
Yeah, like just a touch.
I didn't mind them. Like,
I like the idea, but I think he's right. Sometimes just like, why is a fish flying through this? What is that doing for anybody?
It was like a little much. And you know, it kind of reminded me of like Coruscant in episode 2 for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like some of the things were just a little bit too
way
ridiculous.
Over the top.
Yeah. So,
but the thing is, like, I like how the 2017 movie portrayed the city. Because you got the city every transition between every scene. But in the middle of the original movie, there's like a 10-minute scene where it's just the city. And I'm like, that was a little much. And like there's that song in Japanese, and I'm sure I don't know what that song is because it's not translated in subtitles.
The intro song?
No, the middle of the movie, the really high-pitched Japanese. I don't know what that song is because it's not translated.
Okay.
And there's no subtitles for it. I'm guessing it has something to do with the message of the movie. But I don't know. I don't speak Japanese. I don't know what it's saying. There's that song in the middle of the original anime, and it's just the 10-minute tracking shots of just different random things in the movie. And it doesn't mean anything to me as an American. And I'm glad they didn't have those really long shots of the city. Mm-hmm. They were just shorter shots in between the other shots. And I love that because it just makes the world feel so alive and so real.
I like the environment that it set for the most part. In some sequences, probably as the movie went on, I felt like it was a little played when it came to the neon and the advertisements. But overall, I got to give it passing grades. But I would say it meshed very well with the soundtrack.
I like the I like the grittiness of the city. I like the the wet floors and the wires hanging everywhere. I mean that's just fascinating.
It's a dark movie, that's for sure.
I don't know who the actor who played Batu was, but I love Batu.
Well, I just want to get into.
He's a pretty good actor, but I just loved him as Batu.
He's one of the guys from Game of Thrones. He's the guy with.
Yes.
I thought he was. Maybe I'm thinking the wrong guy, but I thought
maybe it's the way his hair is bleached white. I don't recognize him at all from anything. But I love him. I love him. He is he's badass as Batu.
Well, he is a dead ringer for Batu for sure. What I was going
to
say
– I told Guy Davis he needs to cosplay as Batu because his hair is white.
He would be hilarious.
He would be awesome, Batu.
No, but what I want to say is the character development real quickly, just that – you know, obviously the Major gets into like her background and what she's about. Don't you feel like all the side characters you don't really get too invested in? Like Batu is probably obviously the second
stringer. He's the second most character. But in the anime, you got to know the rest of the team so much better.
Yeah.
Like the totally human guy who liked his traditional sidearm.
Right.
Which they kind of like transitioned him into the Chinese.
To the chief, yeah.
To the chief. Mm-hmm. Because in the original anime, she's like – don't use that six shooter. I want you to have like a gun that can actually back us up.
Yeah.
And then it turns out the chief in the new movie uses the six shooter, right. And he's total badass. I was scared. I mean, I was scared for him too. I was scared he was gonna get killed. I'm like, no, don't kill him. He's awesome. Like, it's just, you know, I mean, I know I mentioned this in our group chat that I liked, you know, this movie better than Rogue One. I cared for the characters.
Here's the thing.
I didn't want him to die.
All right. Wait a second. I don't think I cared as much with these characters. I think I cared more about these characters. I think I got a little more attached to them. But I just – there was not enough character development to make me want to
– But only characters I care about were Major, Batu – the chief, and then the woman, who took care of the doctor.
Those are only
four characters I cared about.
I only found myself attached in any way to Major. I felt like everyone else was underdeveloped.
I feel like there wasn't enough. I thought the only one second to the Major is the doctor,
sure.
who she had sort of a paternal relationship with. So. You know, they had sort of like a paternal relationship that she was a kind of a mother figure to
yeah,
the Major.
That's why
there was
I cared
a moral
about her.
Choice there. There was some depth to that character for sure.
There was, and that was the only interesting character. Batu, while I liked his character, and because I know his background, I didn't get anything from him out of this movie. If I was just walking into this movie and being like, oh, he seems interesting, but that's
the guy
about
from
it.
Smash Mouth. With goggles.
Oh. His eyes will be walking on the sun.
Hey now, you're an all-star.
You took game on. I got weird eyes.
Hey now, you're being Ghost in the Shell. So I thought
– the thing I didn't like about the new movie's version of Batu is that they didn't seem nearly as close.
That was my second favorite character. I mean, I didn't care that anything would happen or not happen to him, though.
His eyes were blown out.
Great. Also, they've got to find a new frontman for Smash Mouth. Awesome. You know, I thought. Walking on the fucking sun, am I right?
Walking on the sun. That'll do it to you.
That's why you need
to That's why your hair
guys.
Is blonde, idiot. You All right. So, yeah. Is. That's where I was at.
Well, no, but I guess I didn't care about I wasn't scared he was going to die, but the – The woman, Major, and then the boss, I was scared for.
I ended up caring more about the other, forgive me for forgetting his name, but the other, like, cyborg.
Skuze,
yeah.
I didn't care about him. And
I didn't at first.
And I cared about him less whenever they did the whole thing where, like, oh, we lived in this commune together on the outside of the city and we were lovers. And I'm like, oh, come on.
I don't think they were lovers.
No, they were.
I don't think they were lovers.
They were. I read some stuff about them. I felt like the film said they were, and the way they were, I never got that at all. They were holding hands
because he's like, you slept there and I slept there. They didn't sleep together.
They could have.
Oh, well, of course they could have. But come on, right,
if you know the answer, was the Major and Kuze once lovers.
I felt like they
were
related idea of that.
No, I thought they were more like a brother-sister feeling.
No, I didn't get that at all. I got that they were romantically involved, especially the way he kind of treated her and looked at her whenever she was kind of captive to him. And then whenever they showed the flashback of them running out of the building, they're hand in hand.
The question is, what's waiting in the bushes of love?
It is. It's a woman thing with chicken feet and duck face.
49 times we fought that beast.
Your old man and me. It had a chicken head with duck feet.
All right.
That's what I'm going home to watch. I told Maggie it was going to be Family Guy Star Wars. I lied.
You can text her later. I lied.
Just
the Holics got me on duck feet.
All right. guys.
Seth the Holics gets everybody on duck feet.
So anyways, I don't think the characters were very well developed. And Kuze, I just – He felt like Anakin to me. Like from, you know.
He was whiny.
From, yeah, from like from episode 2 and 3.
Interesting.
Just like you want him to be good and to hate him and to – or all the things that you want him to be. And just like – you're just more like, oh, you're just annoying. You know? It's just like, why can't you just stop being annoying? You're just like a bad teenager, you it's know? Like,
but the thing is, Kuze is from the Ghost in the Shell standalone complex. But then they kind of merged him kind of with the Puppet Master.
Okay.
Because she's like – because – but his end goal was different. At the end of the movie, he was like, die with me. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to, like, stop existing so we can, like, you know, go on to the next life or whatever. Whereas the Puppet Master was like,
I'm going
to
merge.
We need to procreate.
Right.
Which I think is more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad they didn't go down that step so that the Major is still intact, so that if – somehow this movie does make money, there can be a sequel.
There won't be
I know there won't.
There'll be a reboot at some point, if at all.
Yeah.
Well, there's – I just read an article today that they're thinking about doing an anime series.
There's a new anime.
I did see that. From the
original publisher.
Yes. I think that's happening.
So, yeah. I mean, it seemed like it was greenlit, but I don't know. You know, like you read things. You're like, okay. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it.
Exactly. You
know? So, I mean, I'm on board. I want to see new Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, that'd be great. It would be fun. For sure.
I mean,
it's an interesting concept.
I just got my fingers crossed for this opening huge in China, because I don't think it's open in China yet. Because those foreign numbers
haven't – it's going to have to really do well there.
Those foreign numbers haven't changed much since I checked a couple days ago. So I'm pretty sure it hasn't opened in China.
Time will tell.
We don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Ghost in the Shell, fun movie. I say go watch it. It's not the greatest movie.
It's not the best movie you'll see all year, but I mean, it's a new property for probably many of you. It's a good action movie. It's well acted, and it was fun.
It's a visual feast.
There's a few reasons to see it. Visually, if you like going to the movies, if you like Scarlett Johansson, if you are a video gamer, it's very Deus Ex.
Yeah.
I don't know if David may have. Yeah,
I played Deus Ex. Yeah,
that's totally what I got out of this.
If you like cyberpunk at all, if you like Scarlett Johansson at all, if you like great special effects,
do you like popcorn? Do you like sitting in a room full of other people?
Get your popcorn.
Do you like having pictures projected on a wall? This might be a movie for you.
That's very true.
I think you're underselling it a little bit, Aaron.
In fact, I have to go to the movie right now. I like all those things.
I think you're underselling the movie a very little bit, Aaron. But I mean,
it's a good movie. It's fun to go
see.
It's
not take home movie. It's go and see movie, in my opinion. And
you want to see it on a big screen.
You do. I mean, like, you know, I will probably buy this when it comes out on Blu-ray, and I'll get the 3D version because I have a 3D TV, and I thought it was absolutely gorgeous in 3D. I mean, it's not like a must-have in 3D. There's only a few must-haves in 3D. Like Avengers was great in 3D. The Star Trek movies were great in 3D.
Avatar.
Avatar was specifically made for it. But I mean, those are like three movies that were made for 3D. This movie was good in 3D, but it's not like – if you can see it in 2D, you might as well. But I mean, it was still fun in 3D. I enjoyed it.
You're looking for probably a lot of action. Don't expect a lot of action.
No.
This is a thinker more than anything.
It's not. I mean, it's not even a thinker compared to the original anime. Unfortunately,
sure, but I think for the average moviegoer, it would be.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, most of the action, unfortunately, you see in the trailer. There's a couple scenes that
I was hoping for more action.
It's not Fast and the Furious. So
no.
Well,
but it's a good movie. You should go and see this. You should check it out. Support the arts. Support this movie.
Yes.
Support the arts.
I mean, It's really not a bad – I think a lot of the people are panning it because it's whitewashed. Other people are panning it because, oh, it's not as deep as the original. And it was never going to be because this is made for an American audience.
Deter you from going to see this at
all. But the thing is, if you watch the 1995 anime, like if you're a new person to that, you'll probably hate it because at the time, 1995 was not a great time for – anime and being voice actor in English.
I think it's a good intro, though, if you're looking to get into it a little bit.
But I mean, you didn't even finish it. So I mean, like, it's hard to watch.
Sure.
It is a hard to watch movie, the original. And I think they did a good job adapting it to the American audience with the 2017 version.
I think so, too. I said right away this is like the Hollywood edition of that anime.
Yeah.
So, you know, go see it. Form an opinion for yourself on this one because it's clearly going to be all over the board.
It's definitely all over the board.
It's weird, too, because you think about it. There's always – they say that even bad press is good press.
Not in this case, unfortunately. Yeah,
this one's stuck in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, it's weird because usually
it's
bad press.
It's definitely in a limbo.
If you get in that bad press that people go see it because they're like, is it really that – you know, is it that bad?
But the thing is it's not that bad. It's getting middling reviews. I mean like you gave it a 6.75 mm-hmm. and that's basically what it's been getting across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean it's a little bit less than – it's basically a little bit less or on par with what you gave.
I'd give it a little higher just because I think it is visually just a beautiful movie.
I mean, if you're a fan of effects for movies, go watch this movie. It's beautiful. I would personally give it like a 7.5. Maybe.
I mean, I'm in that ballpark too.
I go back. If you like Scarlett Johansson at all, I think she was so good in this movie. It's worth seeing. She's on screen most of the time.
And I think it falls down with little character development mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You just don't get really into them. So.
And there's not a lot – and not a huge sense of urgency for anyone other than Scarlett Johansson, which is not like it was in the original film. Right. The original film, it just felt – it felt like there's more at stake.
Yeah.
And this one, it just feels like, oh, it's Scarlett Johansson's past. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. I just wish they went a little bit harder on the cerebral, but it was never going to, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I don't have anything more to say about this.
Yeah. But bottom line, go see this movie. Have fun.
Have fun, people. Don't be stupid.
So we can keep talking about movies like this. It's good stuff.
Hey, if you have different opinions, you can let us know.
Yeah. Email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can check out or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/groups of synthaholics. Josiah, where can we find you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs, I am at @1,000,000. No, I am at Josiah D. Leroy. You can catch my company, which is The Geekiverse, at thegeekiverse.com.
And I try to write for them as much as I possibly can.
Yes, so there's some good crossover stuff happening over there with David particularly for the writing aspect. And then obviously, we're always on each other's shows. But one plug, check out Nerds of the Roundtable. That is a podcast that rotates tri-monthly.
Wow.
Yeah. I've never heard that term before. Between the Geekiverse, Synthaholics, and our friends at Artful Gremlins.
The most recent one you would have heard would have been our Lego Batman movie.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And then the one that's upcoming, it may have already been out, but it'll be from the Nerdonomicon. It'll be our
things
you may not have
that.
Tried.
It'll be good. We just love listening to ourselves. You know, we're very vain.
I just wanted to be careful what I said.
We just want to like make sure.
I just don't know what I say sometimes. I'm like, did I really say that?
I think I said trunk and origami a couple times in that episode. I may not be sure.
Yeah.
Yes. That is a very R-rated podcast. So enjoy, folks.
Absolutely.
Just like this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Well, I personally am at David_J_Duncan. The show is at Synthaholic Duo. Aaron?
I'm at Blackbird2004.
Check us out on iTunes. You can rate and review us. Please rate and review us because we need stars. We need reviews. We need people to see us because
give us stars.
That matters.
Give us stars. Give us your blue horseshoes, green diamonds. Blue diamonds.
And moons.
And blue moons.
Colorful objects.
Give them all. Write a quick review because it does help us, the algorithms of Apple and iTunes, to get
are
seen.
Are insane and they need to be seen. I know all the podcasts tell you the exact same thing. And we say this because it's true. It really helps us out so much.
Like, subscribe, get a friend to comment, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Also, you guys have a Patreon.
We have a Patreon.
We do have a Patreon.
So
we
can
have
support that way too.
It's, you know, if you don't want to write a review, you can just put in your credit card number and send us a buck a month or a couple bucks a month.
I mean, a buck is nothing. I mean, a buck out of your bank or your credit card is nothing really.
It helps keep the show going. We have to pay for our website every year. We've got to pay for monthly file hosting. You know, we want to come out to more cons and meet you guys. This is the way to help us be able to do that.
Absolutely.
Support our patrons. Patreon.com/Synthaholics.
And trust me, you want to meet these hooligans as an outside perspective. And it's life-changing.
Life-changing.
Life-changing. You will never be the same after you've met us and looked inside my trunk.
They burn. in my
neither
house.
Neither trunk.
The old trunk joke, eh?
Oh.
I just have lots of origami from one of my past jobs there.
He does, actually. I've seen this. It's true. Yeah, and if you have a different opinion, if you feel differently about this movie,
if you hated Ghost in the Shell, tell us, email us, and we will read it on the air.
If you want a conversation,
if you want to get into the reasoning behind why you think Scarlett Johansson shouldn't have been cast in this, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
We will read it on the air.
Yeah, so that is at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Definitely let us know.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you. For partaking. Thank you for the emails you do send in. You can also send in voice messages. We will play those on the air if you want to have your voice on the show. We love that. We love hearing from you and hearing your thoughts so that we can respond to them, because we want to please you. We want the show to be for you. This is what we do. So if you have any ideas that will make it more palatable for you,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much. Thank you, Josiah, for being part of this episode.
As always, a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
As always, thank you.
You got it. Scholar and a gentleman, you both are.
Oh. Scholar and a gentleman.
And our looks are exceeded by our wisdom.
I wish I had my tie on. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
Shit up, pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
I wasn't on action recording.
Son of bitch.
Son of bitch.
Okay, we tried this again, only this time we try with Russian accent.
Yes, with Russian accent there. Yes.
We try with Russian accent.
My name is Mikhail.
And Mother Russia. Accent.
Not
you.
Try you. Now you're German.
Natasha, she loves Moose and Squirrel.
Yeah, I switched accent mid sentence there.
I love Moose and Squirrel steak.
Canadian?
Steak kebab.
What is
he loves the Moose?
It is Russian ski.